It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. It starts with the Top 4 at 4. Here's Tucker Harlan.
Thank you, Russell. At number 1, you have baseball going on between Tennessee and Florida right now in the Swamp. Vols lead at 4-2 in the top
should
of the third inning.
Should be 5-2. So frustrating. 5-2. Really bad.
We can race. Blame this on the ineptitude of the ESPN app.
No, I'm saying it is 4-2. It should be 5-2.
Oh, it should be, yes.
A terrible base running blunder by Blake Burke. If he had he ran through Josh Elander's stop sign on a double from Billy Amick. If he just holds and waits there, Dryling singles him in. Dryling singles in Amick from second. It would have been a two-run single. Instead, it's 4-2. Base falls with a runner on first and one out for Hunter Ensley. So we'll see if the Vols can keep it going.
Let's go, Hunter.
We've left some runs on the field, man. And, Tony needs to
– got to clean that up, Russ.
It's hard to, pick at Blake Burke because he's having such a great season. But, I mean, game of inches, a run is huge. Everything matters. And you got to pay attention to your base coach. If he tells you to stop, you have to stop. Like, who's running the team here? You can't be running through signs. I mean, I just it's frustrating. But
that's not the first time that's happened this year.
No, it needs to stop.
So, of course, this is part of a doubleheader. First pitch of the second part of the doubleheader and tomorrow's game are on schedule for 6:30 on SEC Network Plus. And Drew Beam and Xander Sechrist will start in those games.
So we get Drew tonight.
Yes.
And Xander tomorrow evening. Okay. I mean, the key in this game is we just got to manage our bullpen. Hopefully, we'll be able to.
Yeah, I mean, Stamos is hanging tough in there. You know, he's going to get into the third inning here, which has not always been. There have been a couple times he's been yanked in the first. So I think if you could get three innings from him, anything above that is gravy.
At number 2, the Miami Dolphins have signed wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. to a one-year, $3 million contract that could be worth up to $8.25 million in incentives if he's to unlock those at the end of the season. This will be his fifth team in his career as Beckham has spent time with the Giants, Browns, Rams, and Ravens before heading to Miami.
He turned into a journeyman. Yeah, his trajectory when he first started off, Tucker, was,
Oh, yeah. He had the catch and everything.
He's made some unbelievable catches over the years, but he's turned into just a journeyman wide receiver.
Classic diva wide receiver. He's 31. Do you think, $3 million for 1 year is not – is that – and do you think that's indicative of he's getting older, been through an ACL, lost a step kind of thing? Or do you think that there's also some character concerns there where teams are like, do I really want to put up with this guy?
I don't know. You'd have to be on the inside. Is he thinking, I need to change the way I do things so I can keep – I'm nearing the end of my career, and I'd like to continue drawing this out as long as I can to continue earning millions of dollars.
He'd be the third receiver in that offense in Miami.
A lot of injuries there. Has not eclipsed 50 catches or 600 receiving yards in each of the past three seasons, so – not exactly in a commanding situation when it comes to the receiver market.
At number 3, we have an NBA coach firing as the Lakers have fired Darvin Ham. This comes after a series loss in 5 games to the Denver Nuggets in the opening round of the NBA playoffs. And he finished his career in LA at 90-74 overall.
Did the Lakers fire Darvin Ham or did LeBron James fire Darvin
I think that's
Ham?
The question we're all asking.
Well, a lot of people are pointing out, or I saw one person point out very astutely that, Denver was better than L.A. at 4 out of the 5 positions. LeBron's old, and he doesn't accept any kind of responsibility for losing.
Always somebody else's fault.
That's in my opinion, he's never going to be the GOAT, man.
Lost more NBA finals than any other player in basketball history.
And finally, at number 4, former Oregon State and Nebraska coach Mike Riley has been named to the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. He replaces athletic director Pat Chun, who was appointed to the 13-member committee when he was at Washington State, but stepped down when he was hired for the same position at Washington. That was part of that big ripple effect with Russ Bjork going to Ohio State in the AD ranks. So he was fired from Nebraska in November of 2017, just hours after the Cornhuskers lost to Iowa in a 42-point blowout loss to close a 4-8 year in Lincoln, the worst at Nebraska since 1961.
Another guy that we kicked the tires on in one coaching search. I think this is true.
Would it have been the Butch one?
I don't know. An alert listener can probably find this information on the internet for me. Or am I mixing it up? Did he have a connection? Was he about to take the Alabama job or the Kentucky job or some other SEC job?
There was a Riley. I thought there was another. Isn't there another? Is there another Riley?
No, this is Mike Riley from Oregon State. I'm sure an alert listener will find that it's Friday and my brain is fried, so
well,
I remember trouble recalling things at this time of the week.
Well, Butch beat him in the Music City Bowl in 2016 when Tennessee played Nebraska.
That's right.
Dobbs' final game when Derek Barnett broke the sack record.
What was Mike Riley doing coaching Nebraska? I guess he made it to the Music City Bowl. He had more success than certain other Nebraska coaches who will remain nameless. Scott Frost.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tucker. Excellent job on the top four at four this afternoon. We've got our old pal Davey Hudson is going to stop by. It's a double outkick day here on The Drive. Already had Trey Wallace on. Davey Hudson from Voluntary Reaction set to join here in just a few moments. That's going to be good. Our old pal Logan Quinton is going to stop by. Don't know if we're going to get the run rule win here today, but Tennessee leading 4-2 in the bottom of the third inning against Florida in Gainesville. Game one of a doubleheader, and these will both be nine-inning games, which sometimes I know in years past we did one at South Carolina. I believe it was last year, right, where it was a two seven-inning game doubleheader.
Yeah, South Carolina, and then I think it was the LSU series 3 years ago where they played a seven-inning game for the third game of that series because they had to continue the one game that was rained out in like the eighth or ninth inning.
Let's get a call from Phil. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
What's up, dude?
What's up, Philly?
I started watching this UT and the UF game.
Now we've got Caglione out twice, so we got that going for us, which is nice.
Yeah, they should be ahead more than they are, but yep. It is what it is.
Yep, I've left at least two runs on the table.
Yeah. But Stamos is throwing strikes, so, I mean, he's doing all right.
Yeah, eating up a couple of innings, and, you know, if you can get through this inning with him and you bring in Causey in the fourth or maybe even the fifth, we'll see. Then hopefully he can eat up the rest of this game and you preserve that bullpen for game two, which would be huge.
Yeah, because both bullpens are going to be taxed this week.
Oh, yeah, and obviously game two, we're hoping for at least five innings out of Drew Beam. So
yeah,
opportunity to kind of grab control of this thing if we can keep it
going.
Plus
it won't be as hot in that second game. He should.
Hopefully, yeah.
So you're talking about most overrated sporting events.
Most overrated sporting events. What do you got?
The World Cup soccer.
Oh, Phil, that hurts me. You know that hurts me, right?
I know it hurts you.
I'll side with you on that one, Philly.
Oh, I can't believe it. It's beautiful.
I'm all alone in the corner. It stings. You guys will never understand. I will not waste my breath trying to explain the intricacies and the joys of the beautiful game to a couple of...
It's just communist kickball as far as I'm concerned.
Meatheads. Surrounded by meatheads.
No, I like the World Cup the same way I watch the Olympics. I really don't know what's going on, but I like the pomp and the pageantry of it.
I will say, I forget what it was exactly we were doing, but my friends and I back home, we drafted like three or four different countries in the World Cup, and whoever's pool of countries performed the worst had to give a presentation on the worst performing country.
Boy, you guys got a bunch of party animals in your peer group, Tucker.
Just killing it on the weekends, aren't you?
I used to like the Olympics back in the day whenever we was always the U.S. and the USSR and East Germany competing for the top, you know, all the gold medals and stuff. It was really fun back then, but, you know, it's not any fun now for some reason.
Good Lord. They had the East German swimmer, like Ludmilla, would come to the pool to swim, and she looked like she could play linebacker for Alabama. The roid rash all over her back.
She'd fit that bunch fit in well in this day and age, you know.
We're all thinking about it. Phil's got to say it.
Also, I think the first round of women's basketball is almost useless as far as I'm concerned. All these blowout games, I mean, it's not like the men's game where you got competitive first round matchups.
First round women's basketball NCAA tournament, Phil is out. But after that, you're all in, right, Phil?
Well, I mean, at least you can watch it. You know what I'm saying? I don't like watching blowouts.
That is true, because when Don Staley's team is favored by 55.5 over a 16 seed, what do you expect to happen?
We have a term for that, Tucker. It's called a baby club ceiling.
That is true.
Yeah, I remember Pat Summitt and Geno used to blow out everybody, and now the Staley's doing the same thing this day and age, you know?
What do you think about Geno coming down here to Knoxville next year, Phil?
I think it's going to be a long night for the Lady Vols, because Geno's he's at least getting to the Final Four every year, and I don't even know if Tennessee will be good enough to get in the NCAA tournament. Look at the roster that she's got.
You got to give Queen Kim adequate time, Phil. Patience is a virtue. We must give her time to get her players in there.
Well, you can't get too much time this day and age. With the transfer portal, you can redo a roster in 1 or 2 years.
And she's only won 80% of her games as a head coach.
Yeah, but you're in big boy league now, or big woman league, or what do you want to call it?
Big woman league does not sound good.
I don't think they'd like that.
Big girl?
And no. Just throwing a dash of
none of the above
misogyny and big girl league. Yeah, I'm sure a women's league would love to be called the big girl league, Russ.
Better than big women.
I don't think it is.
I see everybody's talking about how great Danny White is now, and everywhere they go, and I mean, it's fine and dandy. He's selling out the stadium, and we haven't won the championship in 25 years. That's really amazing to me.
We're the benchmark for a successful college athletic department, Phil. We're good in every –
We're good at humming the money. I'll agree with you on that.
Phil, yeah, what else?
One more thing. Just point guard coming in Monday, you think you'll get a commitment from him?
I don't know. I don't have any inside information there. I love the sound of it. It really makes a lot of sense to have him in the Mabor kid, who I know you're in on as well, as you know, a couple of true freshmen down at the end of the bench that we don't have to depend on immediately. Maybe Hammond has a little bit more to offer as a true freshman than Mabor would, but guys that can develop in the pipeline and hopefully turn into good players 2 or 3 years down the road.
I'm glad we agreed on most stuff today. See you.
Just one big happy family, Phil. It's what we are here.
It's nice.
Davey Hudson coming up momentarily. Let's get a call from Joshy Boy. Good afternoon, Joshy Boy. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Good afternoon.
What's up?
That was a positive call from Phil.
I know, right? I could get used to it.
Yeah, I could too. Rusty, let me ask you something, okay?
Ask me something, Joshy Boy. I'm here for you.
Okay. Would the great Michael Jordan and the great Kobe Bryant, would they lose 9 or 10 times in the finals?
Absolutely not. Never happened.
So why do people call LeBron, let me rephrase this, as a Lakers fan, LeFraud James as the GOAT?
Because it's recency bias, and he's fresh in everybody's minds, and he has had a fantastic Hall of Fame career. He is one of the top 5 players in the history of the game, easily. But when you're comparing him to Jordan, and to a lesser extent, Kobe, you're comparing the incomparable. And most of the people who are wanting to goat LeBron either didn't see or have forgotten about Jordan's greatness. And so this is a fun exercise to do in sports. It's fun to do in boxing. It's fun to do in football. Yeah. It's fun to do, you know, comparing eras. It's hard to do, and you can – it's very rare that you can win somebody over to your way of thinking. But the LeBron people are just wrong. And there's nothing I can say to convince them that they're wrong. But those of us who saw both play know it.
Yeah. As a Lakers fan, I saw most of Kobe Bryant's career, and almost two or three last year Jordan's career, and I did see most of his highlights, rewatched a lot of them. It's not even close. Jordan and Kobe are a lot better than LeBron.
Agreed.
So with Tennessee baseball, Russ, would you say a really, really good series this week is taking 2 out of 3, no chance of sweeping Florida?
Yes. No, I wouldn't say there's no chance. I mean, because we're winning game one right now, but a really good result is winning the series. Yes, absolutely. If I could take that right now, if I can sign up for that, bird in hand, two games, absolutely, I'm taking it.
I am too. So Drew Beam is the game two starter tonight?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yep.
So who is Phil talking about, the point guard that's going to visit this coming week?
Ben Hammond is the kid's
name.
Ben
Hammond, he's what?
Ben Hammond.
5'10".
Yeah.
I hear where J-Mo's really high on him.
I mean, the thought is, I mean, you know, you bring him in, you've got Ziegler for one more year. This is a kid that's not going to be worried about getting minutes and, you know, learn how to play point guard for Rick Barnes behind Zakai.
Being a good insurance policy for this season. But, I mean, he's a nice player. You look at the offer list, he's got a couple of decent major offers. He was committed to Rhode Island. He's from the Washington, D.C. area. As Bear said, stature-wise, he compares very favorably to Zakai Ziegler. So this would be a big pickup for Tennessee.
Kid. Yeah. Guys, really good show today. Polish Joe, take notes. Have better phone calls.
Joshy boy with the shot on the way out the door. Stay with us. We've got Davey Hudson from Outkick set to join us when we continue. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, Russell Bear and Tucker Harley cruising with you on a Friday afternoon edition of the show, and pleased to be joined by our old pal Davey Hudson, the third member of our voluntary reaction triumvirate. Davey, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Hey, good afternoon, boys. I'm doing great. I noticed there was a name left off when you were bringing you all back in. I take it Houston's fishing?
Yep. He is staking his claim to the Crest Cup.
Okay, check this, Davey. Listen to what this guy tried to sell us on. He told us it wasn't vacation time, that he was working.
No, I mean, he did the same stuff for years on three and out. I'm by no means surprised. And he wouldn't describe it as vacation. I'm surprised he even called it work. He generally would have just gone like, nah, man, it's just a lifestyle kind of thing. But that's Crest for you.
He was pretty ticked off after Nate Hodges won the Wallace Award and hoisted the Crest Cup in his last year at Fan Run. And he said, you know what, I'm not going to miss out on the award that's named after me. I'm going to get it this year. So he's staking an early claim. We have some other sneaky contenders, but we won't get into all of that. Davey, how you doing, man? You got big plans this weekend?
I am doing very well. It is a very eventful weekend here in Nashville. I know the Preds play tonight, and season is on the line. And again, like, our studio is just about a block and a half away from Bridgestone, so you can really feel the energy as that's happening. So a couple of big concerts. I guess I don't know if you know this, but like apparently there are a ton of people that just like awful music, because Morgan Wallen's got like 2 to 3 concerts this weekend here at like Nissan.
Well, granted, it's not my cup of tea either. But yeah, I guess there's a reason he's selling out that stadium, right?
I guess.
You're in Music City, Davey. I mean, we're on in – you're in Nashville. We're in Knoxville. I mean, you come on to Creed. You think that's the greatest thing ever, and you're ripping on the biggest star in country music. I mean, winning friends and influencing people. Davey Hudson of OutKick, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen, like, the Creed thing has kind of taken on a life of its own. We're hitting a reunion tour. They actually just got back from the Bahamas for the summer of 99 cruise. They did 2 weeks of that. And, I mean, listen, like, you have the Dallas Cowboys halftime show for Thanksgiving. It's just that's a living legend. I'm not saying Morgan's not going to get there, but I just can't. I don't see the appeal. Also, like, look at it. Like, guy almost, like, put a cop in the hospital a couple weeks ago. Just not a good person from all indications.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he threw a chair off the top of the building.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Scott Stapp.
No. Scott would never do such a thing.
No.
He was more self-destructive.
Davey, what's going on in Nashville sports-wise? Obviously, you got the Preds tonight. What about the Titans, man? The draft is in the books. Just what are your thoughts on what the Titans got done in the draft and just the start to this new era with Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon, obviously more front and center as a face of the franchise? You feel good about things?
No, I don't.
Okay. Davey Hudson, ladies and gentlemen, bringing the noise.
I look at this draft class. I'm not happy with it. Last year, again, I know there were several things kind of going on behind the scenes for the Titans as it relates to, all right, who's really calling the shots. This year, Rand had complete control. I get it. Joe Alt went off the board at 5, and so you're probably thinking, man, what do we do? I just can't. I could be wrong, but I hate the idea of drafting a guy to play a position that he hasn't played before, especially with a top-10 pick. I get it. If you're wanting, if you look at a guy, you see the traits, and you're like, all right, we'll take a flyer on him in the 5th, 6th, or even 7th round. But whenever you're telling me you get a top-10 pick and you're going to draft a guy and don't exactly know which position – well, they say they know where he's going to play, but there's been some other comments there. Hell, they did the same thing last year with Skoronski. So that's two – I know he was 11th, but I look at it as essentially 2 top-10 picks where you draft a guy and you're not exactly sure where he's going to play. Like, I just don't understand the logic behind that. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I think Tavondre Sweat will be good, but it was such a reach. And the one thing for him is it kind of reminds me of, you know, just some of those players with character concerns as far as can he actually get on the field. Like, there's other things there. I know he had the DWI arrest I can't remember if that was weeks or months ago, but that happened during the draft process. The guy's not been able to control his weight. He's one of those guys, you look at it, if he's able to put it together, things will be good. But you know what? I said the same thing about Caleb Farley. You've got all these injury concerns, and yet he's not even going to be on the roster come day one. The way in which, and again, this isn't on the current administration, but everyone's like, well, the Titans did really good in free agency. They went out and were able to, you know, bring in some good guys, and they did. The reason they did was because they had the money to spend, because they've been so terrible at drafting that they've not had to give guys second contracts. If you go look back, prior to, I guess, 2022, where you have guys that are on the roster now that got a second contract that were drafted by the team, you only got 3 guys. You got Harold Landry in 2018, Jeff Simmons, and Amani Hooker in 2019. And no, those are 3 really good players for you, but I mean, only 3 guys getting a second contract, that just goes to show you something's off in the scouting department. And again, that's why we've had a regime change, but I look at this draft class and I'm not sold on it. And so I'm a little concerned, to say the least.
Hey, Davey, going back to what you were talking about our first pick with Latham, why did is it Fashanu, the left tackle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Why did he say – leading up to the draft, I thought – felt like Alt and Fashanu were 1 and 1A. Why would they not take – do you have any idea why they wouldn't have – why they didn't take him?
Yes. When you look at Fashanu, one of the things for that guy is he is great in the run game. And so I could have easily had seen, if Mike Vrabel was the coach, you still kind of had like that Derrick Henry back, I could have seen them going with him if that was the style of offense. But as we know, bringing in Brian Callahan, they are going to look to air this thing out. It's definitely going to be a heavy passing attack, and his pass pro isn't on par with some of the other tackles in that class. And so there's a lot of those tackles, whether it's like, again, I think Joe Alt's going to be great. Like I can see him getting a gold jacket here 20 years from now. But a lot of the other tackles that are kind of second through fifth, a lot of them have great qualities, but it really is kind of like picking your flavor of ice cream based off what the offensive game plan calls for and what you want to do. And Fashanu, while I think he's going to be a good tackle, he doesn't exactly fit the scheme I think the Titans are really looking to move forward with Callahan at the helm.
Davey Hudson of OutKick, our guest here this afternoon on the program as we break things down. We're watching Tennessee baseball here in the studio. Davey, how is college baseball perceived in Nashville? I understand it's still a niche sport. Big series for the Vols at Vandy next weekend. You would think Vanderbilt would have a big following, but so many other things going on in Nashville. How's that sport perceived there?
It is growing in popularity, but as far as really making a dent into plans, it's not there yet. In the SEC towns, especially whenever you look at a lot of the programs that have been incredibly successful over the last couple of years, it's really taking off. And like I love how Tennessee has absolutely embraced Tony Vitello and this program, and it's fun to where we've done shows for more postseason type games, but I've even found myself over last year, this year, tuning in more to the regular season. And it's great when you have that winning team, but I would definitely say for a lot of the programs that we'll just say are very meh, or there's just not a lot of enthusiasm around it, it's not exactly something where the eyeballs are going there. I would love to see the sport continue to grow, but being here in Nashville, there are people over at Vanderbilt that are working there that I like and enjoy, but whenever it comes to their sports teams, you kind of forget they're here.
Davey, big news college football this week. Kirby Smart now making $13 million a year. Remember when Saban got his $4 million a year at Bama and everybody was just mouths on the floor. What do you think? First of all, is that a wise investment for Georgia? Is he worth it? And, you see these stories about future revenue sharing and college sports and everything. Are we close to topping out on the crazy college football coaching salaries?
I don't think so, not yet. To answer your first question about is Kirby worth it, I think he absolutely is. He's now currently the best coach in college football with Nick Saban retiring. I am still in awe about how these college contracts or coaching contracts work. I don't know if I've ever really dove into you guys with this, but my final paper to graduate law school was on coaching contracts in college athletics. And you just look at how this continues to balloon, and now we're talking $13 million. And I was interviewing people at the time that were discussing before a coach made the first million just to be an actual coach. And whenever you're looking at these TV rights deals, especially with the expansion of the college football playoff, it's one of those things where the money's going to continue to come in. And I still think we know a lot of it too. And here's the other thing with coaching, and I don't know if this is the best comparison, I'm just kind of playing this out now. Whenever you're looking at the NBA, you see a lot of coaches that nowadays it's more of just, can you manage the locker room? It's not so much about the X's and O's, because there's a lot of guys that can do that, but we see these egos that get involved, and how are you going to be able to get all those guys to come together and go out there and put forward a winning product? And college basketball, or just college sports in general, is becoming more and more like that whenever you look at the NIL era, the transfer portal, and we do see that it is more of a year-to-year type sport where you're not getting a guy that's going to commit out of high school and you're guaranteed I know for a fact this guy's going to make it all 4 years, graduate, get his degree, and go on and do other things with life. And there's definitely pros and cons to that, But as we continue to just see how Kirby's able to recruit, they can go into the transfer portal, get a guy like Jaden Rashada. I mean, that element on top, and then we know you follow the money. These teams that do have the NIL, it's going to be worth it. So, yeah, $13 million, while it seems crazy, Kirby's probably being underpaid.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you think about it, these are, multi-million dollar industries that these guys are leading, and you see CEOs in the business world all the time, making tens of millions of dollars with tens of million dollars golden parachutes on their way out. And it's just amazing that that's what college football has become, and that guys like Jeremy Pruitt could be part of that.
it's unreal, really. I mean, there's a lot of people that are just incompetent, but they always say if you want to make a lot of money, just get in the business where there is a lot of money, and eventually you'll be able to siphon some of that off, and that's like a perfect example for Pruitt.
That's why we got into radio, right, Davey?
Yeah, exactly.
Davey Hudson of OutKick joining us here this day. We gotta do a circling back to baseball. We gotta get some Tennessee baseball voluntary reactions going. I mean, people are asking for it. The people want it.
Yeah.
We're into it. Today might not be a good day. Maybe chat about tomorrow. Certainly next week. What do you guys think? Next week, Vanderbilt series.
Yeah.
Big in-state rivalry. Do a
hated,
baseball
hated
VR.
Rival. An yeah. Idiot Tim Corbin, Davey. I can't stand him.
No, I'd definitely be down for that. Did you guys get into the Jim, I'm going to butcher his name, Schlossnagel, the Texas A&M, yes. And his recent comment?
Yeah, we talked to Trey Wallace last hour
it's
about it.
It's a big OutKick day here on the drive. And, Trey – we talked to him about that, and I don't know. What's your take?
I mean, I hate whenever my team gets burned by cheating, but cheating from – look at it from our standpoint in the media. It just gives great storylines. I mean, the Jim Harbaugh-Michigan saga was what drove headlines during the fall, and that team ultimately won it all. I love it when coaches just throw it out, and I'm sure they've got proof on it. It's generally one of those things you don't want to just – throw out willy-nilly, but it makes it more entertaining. I think storylines like that could actually help grow the sport. And again, we see that all the time with was it the Georgia pitcher with the yeah. illegal substance as well recently, and there was like the John Boy video for that. I'm all for it. I'm not a huge baseball fan overall. I know I've talked about that before, but everybody always says the steroid era saved baseball. So I'm all for the cheating. I understand there are definitely going to be drawbacks to it, but whenever it's able to generate the buzz that it does, it gets the passion for fans going, hey, bring it on.
I just think it's especially rich with the way Tim Corbin carried on about the bat, whatever happened there. We'll never know if that was a hot bat that Beck used down there. Wouldn't surprise me if it was, but you never know. But for as bad as he acted, David, then to turn around and just get caught, one of your guys getting caught red-handed, is it's something.
It always creates some fun storylines, and I'm here for it.
It's just such a dirty, corrupt sport, and it's
love it.
It's so funny because baseball, you have the money ball thing. How can you not be romantic about baseball? Babe Ruth and the pastoral nature of it, the green fields and the Cracker Jacks and all this stuff and all the corny stuff that we grew up and that we love.
America's pastime.
But then just like underneath the surface is just this complete, to borrow the Star Wars, I guess tomorrow is May 4th, a wretched hive of scum and villainy, the likes of which, we probably can't even possibly comprehend how much cheating goes on in that sport.
Nah, man, and it's like there's so many ways you can get by on doing things. It's and that's the other thing too about baseball. They also have all these unwritten rules. So that just adds to it as
yeah.
well.
Well, they take themselves so seriously.
Davey, you gotta come by and you gotta come by and see the new digs here, man. The new White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's pretty plush.
I've heard great things. I love the setup, able to watch as you guys go live. I remember whenever it was just we were back in the old studio and we just fire up the Periscope and But the new set looks incredible. Nobody deserves the success like you guys do, and I'm just happy to see Fan Run continue to grow and do great things. And y'all, you're the voice of the people, so it's long overdue.
Got to get back. Got to go hit up Craven Wings. Come hang out here. The new White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. The studio is great, but like the outside area, like where we hang out before we come in and do the show, that has been upgraded even more than the studio.
Flat screens everywhere and comfortable, clean couch, you know.
Granted, the old setup was Spartan, shall we say.
It's like an insane
asylum.
Nothing
quite like that. Did y'all bring the green carpet as like to pay homage?
No, I think at last
we actually do have green carpet out there, I guess.
It's like
AstroTurf.
We've got a little section of that. No, the green carpet, we were afraid to even burn that. It's going to probably should be sealed in lead and disposed of.
It is a bit of a health hazard. All right, Davey, we appreciate it. Last thing, we'll let you out of here. We've been kicking around this show topic today as we get ready for the weekend. The Kentucky Derby is tomorrow. I don't know if you remember my take on this. I'm not a big fan of the Kentucky Derby. It's Derek Dooley noted for longtime listeners of the program. Most overrated sporting events. Are there any sporting events that people go gaga over that you personally are just like, meh, not for me?
It's changed more over the last couple of years, but the Winter Olympics are definitely up there. Listen, the Winter Olympics are just to make white people feel special. That's all it is.
I don't see why you got to bring race into
country
it.
So they can go out there and actually be good at something.
Okay.
I'll tell you, I mean, the Olympics for me, just in general, it's so overrated, so meh. I think that...
I feel like I should be given a chance at some point in today's, later on throughout this afternoon show, Russ, to give a counterpoint to that. I think the Olympics is one of the greatest sporting events ever invented.
I don't think you really think that. I think you like to say that. Can you name me a single participant in any individual sport in the Summer Olympics this summer?
Coming up this summer?
Yes.
Not currently.
No,
I haven't looked at
Nobody
the
cares
yet.
About the Olympics. You don't care about the Olympics.
I do when they're on.
It's overrated. Nobody cares.
It's
you could have just named like five NBA players at the top of their game because they're going to be playing.
Well, he can't do that either. He can't do that. Name me a player on the American basketball team this summer.
Oh, on America's team?
Yeah.
LeBron?
I don't think he's playing.
Steph Curry?
He's washed.
Anthony Edwards?
He might be playing.
I think Edwards is playing. The other guys might be too. I'm pretty sure KD's playing.
No, he would be playing for somebody else.
Who were you going to say? Jokic?
You're
going to say Jokic?
Yeah.
All the best players in the NBA are foreign now. Davey, got to run, man. Appreciate you, my friend. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, guys. Y'all do the same. Go Vols.
Davey Hudson of OutKick making his presence felt this afternoon on the program. We got to take a quick timeout. We'll be back to wrap up hour number two of the show right after this. All right, back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio, coming to you live from your White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. We are streaming online this afternoon at fanrunradio.com. Well, this game has really settled in here, watching Tennessee baseball at Florida, 4-2 Vols in the top of the sixth inning, and I believe all the runs were scored in the second and third innings. And
yeah.
It's
yeah.
just... It's kind of settled in here. Causey is in for Tennessee. Florida's brought in their second pitcher of the day, and both of these guys are having a lot of success. So we continue to monitor this game, one of a doubleheader. with game two coming up, what is it, half an hour after game one?
45 minutes.
All right. So Tennessee trying to hold on and get things started with a game one win, although a long way to go in that one. Davey Hutchin of OutKick. Bear, what did you learn?
I really like talking to Davey. He's a great guy.
That's not what I asked you.
He completely panned, but I really wasn't surprised. He panned the Titans draft. He wasn't a big fan of.
I was a little bit surprised at how hot takey he was on that one.
He's passionate about the Titans, bro. You know that.
The only thing that keeps going, because I have the same concern, and I think most rational Titans fans do, about Latham.
Sure.
The thing I keep coming back to is, look, man, if it doesn't work out and we are right back in the same position a year from now talking about trying to find a new left tackle either through the draft or free agency, then at that point I feel like you need to – Rand Carthon needs to lose his job.
Yeah.
That's a big if, but that will have been 2 years in a row that you had a huge hole at left tackle. You had a top 10, I know it was 11 last year, it was 7 this year, draft pick. And you drafted offensive linemen twice and did not find your guy. I choose to live in my hopes and not my fears and assume that J.C. Latham will be able to make the transition to left tackle. But if he's not, and you have poor play at that position again this next season, and it results in the Titans not having a good year, then I think you need to look for a new general manager, because you can't whiff on that twice. You can whiff on it once. It's not good, but I feel like especially young GMs can have a mulligan there, but you can't do that twice in a row, man, and have it not work out for you. So hopefully it's a moot conversation, and if it is, then I think Davey would have to walk that take back a lot.
Yeah, and he will. I've heard him walk other hot takes back that didn't turn out to be on the money, so to speak. Who do you think Vrabel would have taken? Well, I wonder who we would have drafted had Vrabel not, if he's still the head coach.
That's a good question. It's a good question. I don't
probably
know.
The big kid from Penn State. Like Davey was talking about.
I don't know.
That was something else he mentioned. If Vrabel was here and if we were, you know, still going to be a power running team, he probably takes the kid from Penn State there at 10. So
today's hot question, for those of you just joining us, what is the most overrated event in sports? This in honor of the Kentucky Derby. I do not like the Kentucky Derby. I don't like it as an event. I don't like horse racing in general. I don't like the pomp and circumstance that surrounds it. I don't feel like I'm a hater. Sometimes I do get up on the porch, but this is one of those events. Every now and then in life, you have to put your foot down and stand for something. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And I don't like this event. I think it is the most overrated event in sports. And yes, I realize that I'm in a minority there. I realize I might be on an island of one, but lots of Twitter discourse on this one. Lots of takes coming in. Trey's terrible takes says the Olympics suck for the most part. I would agree with that. Brian Johnson says the Super Bowl, it's such a casual fan production. I would agree with that as well. Not saying I don't like the Super Bowl. I'm saying the Super Bowl is overrated. Double A says anything soccer outside of the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, I watch the World Cup. Not that I always have it on any of those games, and it's more. It just gives off that kind of cool vibe. But it's the same reason I love the Olympics, as I said.
Lots of votes for the Olympics coming in. Lots of votes for the NBA. Just a lot of anything NBA. And not even the NBA finals. Just people lashing out at the NBA. Our audience, a big chunk of our audience, does not like the NBA. Hates it. Actively dislikes it.
And what's really – in college basketball, I feel like, is at an all-time high as far as interest. Do you think college basketball has more fans than the NBA?
No. No, it's professional sport to college, not even close. Let's get Matthew in here next. Matthew, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. Was that Tucker or Bear that answered the phone for me?
That was me.
Man, that was a good Bear impersonation. That I was almost impressed by that.
What do you, when you give a
job, what was your experience like, Matthew? Did he take care of you? Did you feel valued? Did you feel welcomed to the program today?
I truly felt like I was talking to Bear. He answered it with that scruffled, you know, what's your name, Tate? All right, hang on. And so I thought to myself, man, was that Bear or Tucker?
No, you said, hey, Tucker, so you got it right.
All right, we don't have to go through the play-by-play. I just wanted a general vibe here. I'm glad it's worked out for you, Matthew.
Well, fair enough. Gentlemen, I asked this question last week before, but we didn't have enough time to dive into it. But it's no secret that we're looking to add Chaz Lanier here very soon here in the coming weeks. And so did you all see the news, I guess, if it's already been talked about, forgive me. But Jonas Adu, I guess, got a shot thrown his way from Rick Barnes on Felix, the Ohio State kid that we just added. Did y'all see his quote?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. And, you know, I don't know if it's a shot so much as just a acknowledgement of the reality of the situation. You know, giving a little more physicality, that part of the quote raised a couple of eyebrows. But I think for Tennessee fans, they like it because – that's what they want. They want somebody who can beat and bang a little bit more in the low post, because that was without a doubt Tennessee's Achilles heel this year.
Understood. Well, listen, I'm hopefully you guys can dive into this a little bit more in depth and get some more thought on this. So the question I'll ask again is, you know, that fifth spot that's up for grabs, if you do add Chaz Lanier, you know, you have an opportunity still to bring in another player. Would you like to see somebody that can back up Sakai and take off some of the wear and tear of him? I mean, that's a harder ask to get a guy to come in and essentially be your backup. Or would you just add another depth piece to your big man rotation? And I'll hang up and listen. Have a great weekend, boys. Go Vols.
Thank you, Matthew. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it sounds like Tennessee is trying to do with Ben Hammond, the former Rhode Island commitment, who is coming in on a visit later this weekend. So if you can get that and you have him down at the end of the bench where he's not commanding huge minutes or anything like that, he knows that there's a developmental process for him that has to take place. I think that would be a huge pickup. And then that even, you know, that leaves you with one spot. If you are able to add both Lanier and Hammond, you still got one spot to play with in the portal or in the high school ranks, wherever you choose to use that spot. So I think that would be absolutely ideal. Stay with us. The drive continues. Hour number three coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.